Glad each and every one of you has come out this morning. We thank God for you. If you're a visitor here, we say so often, you mind the Lord. And you'll have a wonderful time here. Choir's going to sing. Aaron's going to preach, I believe, here in a little bit, God willing. So we are thankful that you're here this morning. Now, I'm going to get a couple announcements out of the way first. We'll get the offering up. There he is. Egg making's going to start real soon, so these forms out in the foyer. If you know anybody or take some with you, try eggs. He's already taken forms for the making of the eggs, Charlie said. So, and second, next Saturday night, we'll be having a critter dinner here. And if you come, you're asked to bring a covered dish. And there will be a table of good food, I guess, and a table of great food. That's the wild food. That's the great food, I'd say. So you can have your choice. Come and fellowship and have a good time with us. Richie does a good thing. A lot of laughs. We have a good time on that. So, six o'clock. Okay, thank you, Rob. So, remember, testimonies are in order. Whatever you want to do. So we're going to take up offering now, first thing. Brian Harper, please say the prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to come to your house, Lord, and just dwell in your word, Lord, and just watch over and protect us and just help us in everything we do, Lord. We just thank you for all the blessings that you put in our lives, Lord, and all the blessings that you're going to do for us, Lord. Just please, Lord, take this offering and bless it, and may we do your work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Turn that choir loose here a minute, but you know, had two things happen this week. God kind of brightened my eyes sometime, but Wednesday, we went out there to get our food handlers card, and post opened up at 4:30. Well, before 4:30, there's people beating on the door, they locked the door. So think about that this morning. If you're here and you're lost, one day your door is going to be locked. That's what God put on my heart this week. He says, let's think about that. Think it's going to be locked and he won't be able to get in. They was beating on the winds, as people. Another thing, I was there this week watching TV, Well, I watch Gunsmoke a lot, and Andy Griffith, I watch the good shows. But anyway, to say that, I say this. I've watched them enough reruns that I know when it comes on what's going to happen next. Okay? And God said to me, he says, you big dummy. He said, if you get in there and you read your Bible like you did them shows, what would happen? I would know what was in there. And I would know what was in there if I know that as much as I sit there and watch them shows over and over this morning. So he deals with me that way a lot, and I wanted to tell you all that this morning. So come on, Chris.
Happy day when we gather on the other shore, over on the golden shore. Every earthly care's a I promised my cousin I'd do this. She called me yesterday, and I was getting music ready this morning. But my cousin Teresa and Jerry from Michigan, they asked me that I have our church pray for their church. They are they voted to keep their pastor that they have, and now it's up to the organization that they're in whether they will renew his contract or not. And they asked that we have our people here pray for their church. It's Grace Church in Michigan, way up in the UP, in Sagola, actually, is the town. But they asked that Gold Town pray for their church, okay? And I want you to remember Eli. He's sick this morning. He was at Kevin's house spending the night and running a fever. And Meredith met him across the way and took him to the doctor. I don't know. He's probably got the flu. I don't know. But you know how moms are. As soon as they call and say got a fever, she kicked her in gear. So, but remember him, too. Let's all stand and sing 160 as the choir goes down 160. What a day that will be.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. On that happy golden shore, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Y'all just see, stand up here sometimes and see everybody here. This place is about full. And we got kids over there today, too, several. So, hallelujah, we're blessed. Yeah. And I enjoy seeing the smiling faces when the choir sings and everything. I do. Anybody got anything else? All right, Aaron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Anyone else have anything you'd like to share before we get started? I'm going to ask three people to come help me. Trent, Luke, and Jordan. Over the past couple weeks, we've been studying about your heart. And there are three different hearts that a person deals with. And one is the emotional heart or the love heart, as far as loving someone else. Then you have the human heart, which takes care of the body and produces or transfers the blood throughout your body. And then you have the spiritual heart. And I was talking to the class, the youth class, the last couple weeks, and I asked them, I said, which one of these hearts do you think is the most important? And we got to talking about the love relationships. And we asked, how long does a relationship sometimes last? And one of them said, well, a day maybe. And then they said a week. And then they said a month. How long does yours normally last?
They haven't existed for a while. So.
So.
Zero, I guess.
Okay. You all pray for Trenton's heart. But when we think about Valentine's Day, we think about the heart and getting someone something that we think about. Did you get anybody anything for Valentine's Day?
Just received.
Just received.
From my mom.
From his mom. So. We talked about the physical heart. How long is the physical heart good for? What does the Bible say about the life of a man? 70, which is 70. And if it could go 10 more years... it could go 969 years, but it goes along as the body is alive. And the scripture tells us the life is in the blood. And we talked about how many times it beat. If you were 70 years old and your heart averaged 80 beats a minute, which might be high or low, and you live to be 70, your heart would beat almost 3 billion times. And then we talked about the spiritual heart. And the spiritual heart will only last the same as the physical heart. Is that right?
No.
How long will the spiritual heart last? For eternity. So when we were sitting in class and we were looking at this, they looked at it and they said, the spiritual heart's most important. And then I asked them, I said, which one do you spend the most time working on? Trent? You spend the most time thinking about somebody else. Do you think about your own heart, your physical heart? When do you think about your physical heart? When you start having a problem with it, don't you? When you go to the doctor. But the spiritual heart is where it's all at. Because you're looking at eternity, eternal. You're looking at maybe 70 years. Today's my dad's birthday, and he's 92 years old. So God has blessed him beyond, and his heart's probably the strongest thing about him. And I had him in the hospital a while back, and he told me, he said, Aaron, he said, I want to be a donor. Can you imagine somebody wanting a 92-year-old heart? Well, if you got his, you'd probably be getting a pretty good one. He's never smoked, never drank. But I thought, you know, but the physical heart, and this heart is just temporal. It's just, we're in this world temporary. So I want you to think this morning about your spiritual heart. Thank you, guys. Now, Charlie read a scripture Wednesday night in Hebrews. Well, he read several scriptures. I didn't get to hear them all. I was in the back for a while. But before I left, I heard one of the scriptures that he read. And I'm going to give that to you here in a minute. Don't turn it on yet, Barry. But first of all, I wanted to give you a definition. And I want you to tell me which word applies to this definition. And as a verb, it's to give little attention or respect to. To disregard. To leave undone or unattended to, especially through carelessness. Huh? That's a good word to go with this one. Who said that?
Neglect.
That's why these people sit up front. They're my smart students, so I have them sitting up front. Now I want you to think about the word neglect. And one of the words that was mentioned was to ignore, to bypass, to disregard, to overlook, to pass over, to slight, or to slur. These are all words that are other words that when we talk about neglect. Now I want you to think about something. I want you to think about the physical, the temporal things in this life that you often deal with. Can anybody tell me something that you have neglected somewhere in the past that... Or what is something that you've neglected? Think about it a minute. Okay. Anybody got anything? What if you neglected to go to work in the morning? John, you neglect to show up in the morning. What happens? You're going to pay the consequences, aren't you? If you just don't show up, then you're probably going to be penalized by not getting paid anything. What if you neglect to go to school tomorrow? What happens in school when you don't go? Huh? You're a truant, yeah. Truant officer. We don't hear of them anymore, do we? When I'd miss school, I had a truant officer sitting outside the house waiting on me. No, I didn't. I tried not to miss. But I know some people who did. Truant officers went to their house at least once a week because they just didn't come to school. What else have you neglected in your life? Okay, now that's spiritual. I'm talking natural now. Then we'll go to that. Huh? Neglect your family? When you neglect your family, what happens? What'd you say, Jim? You don't get supper if you neglect your family. What else might happen if you neglect your family? You draw apart. You say, I'm not going to see them anymore. Okay? What if they leave here? Okay? You may not get to see them anymore. So it's important for us. Something else that you neglect. Your health. How do you do that, Randy? You don't neglect going to the table. You just eating the wrong things. Is that neglect? Sure is, isn't it? What else? You fail to exercise. Remember, I was talking about the heart, probably the most important part of your body. If you neglect to exercise, what's that heart going to do? It's not going to be as strong as it should. It's going to be weak. What about your plants? I had a friend tell me one time that his son was going to start raising a garden. And I said, how's that doing? He said, well, he's never pulled a weed. He's never tilled it. And I said, well, what's he doing? He said, well, the last time he worked on his garden, he took his lawnmower out there and mowed the rows out. You know, mowed in between the rows. So he neglected it. When you neglect your garden, what happens to it? Weeds will take over, won't they? And I thought, you know, what do weeds do with plants? They choke them out. They choke them out. So things that we neglect in this life will get choked out. What if anybody in here ever lost a plant? Why did you lose that plant? Forgot to water it. I had a plant, and I didn't water it very often. But you know when I started watering it? When it was turning yellow. Then I knew I'd forgot to water it. So I neglected it, all that in between, but then I'd give it a dose every now and then. But a lot of times we just go off and we forget. Anybody neglected an animal? No, I'm not going to ask you that, because Les will probably have to arrest you if you neglected your animal. But I thought, you know, a lot of animals are neglected. I know a person that had a horse, and the horse looked pretty good. But then they started putting a blanket on it. I thought, why are they putting that blanket? You know, it's pouring down the rain. It just makes it heavier on it and harder on it. And then it wasn't a week or two later, they came and got the horse. And the horse was, you could just count its ribs. But that's why the blanket went on. So when we neglect things a lot of times, what do we try to do? Cover it up. So it's, and probably a lot of you who teach or in the school system, you know that children are neglected. And it's an awful thing, but there are four categories that they list on child neglection. One is physical. They're not as fortunate as Randy. They don't get to eat every meal. And the only meal that they may get is at school. So they try to send food home with the children because they know when they get home they're going to be neglected. And the next thing is educational neglect. You know, teachers can only teach a child so much in that shorter period of time. Our Sunday schools can only teach so much on Sunday morning. Some of our young people get to come back on Wednesday night and they get extra teaching, which is good. But educational neglect, and children who are neglected there, they bring their homework home, and what do the parents say who neglect their children? I'm glad none of you asked or answered, because I don't feel like any of you would neglect your children. But what should we do with our children when they come home and they have homework? Help them, spend time with them, work with them. So a lot of parents will say, "I don't have time for you. I don't want to fool with that." Of course, a lot of them are studying things that are beyond our expectations. So when Trent comes home and he looks over at TJ and says, "Will you help me with this trigonometry or whatever it might be?" Huh? Phone a friend. Trent phone, or TJ phones a friend. Okay. What about emotional neglect? That's another one the child has. There's an abuse there because of that neglect of a child that's having a problem. And then medical neglect. How can medical neglect affect you? We talked about that with the heart. If something's going wrong, what should we do? Seek a physician. So the children need dental care and they need different things like that, and some parents can't afford it. But I thought, you know, these are all physical neglects that we run into in our life, but I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about spiritual neglect. Now, I've asked you what naturally you've neglected, and you've told us your plants and you're going to see doctors and a lot of different things. But now I want to talk to you about spiritual neglect. And let me ask you this question. Is salvation important to you? Should salvation be important to you? Definitely. Now, I'd like for you to turn with me. They're going to put it up here, I think, to that verse that Charlie read Wednesday night. I started looking at that, and I began to think about this verse. And when we read this verse, a lot of time we think it's about someone who is lost. Someone who doesn't know the Lord. But I want to take it in a little different direction. It says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Salvation, you've already told me it's important to you. Do we neglect this great salvation as Christians? Which heart's the most important? Physical heart? The spiritual heart. The spiritual heart is the most important. And if we neglect it, what happens to us spiritually? Huh? We get weak. We drift away, just like families will drift apart. Who are you drifting apart from? From God. Does God ever leave you or forsake you? Does He ever move? Does He ever slumber or sleep? He's always there. Who's the one doing the moving? We are. We are. And we start moving and sliding and slipping and sliding backwards. What's that called? Backsliding. And it's a spiritual neglect that causes that. If you don't water a plant, what's it going to do? It's going to die. If you don't water your spiritual life, what's it going to do? Going to die. What are things that we neglect that causes us to get in that condition? Okay, I've heard two. We fail to read God's word. Okay, and what was the second one? Okay, pray, that's another one. Don't come to church. In America, church attendance, how do you think it's going? Al, stand up and show them how it's going. It's going down. Why is church attendance going down? And we begin to do what? Neglect our relationship with God. This scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If we neglect our reading, we neglect our prayer life, we neglect our attendance to God's house, who's it hurting the worst? It's hurting us ourselves. It's not hurting someone else, but it's hurting you. Now, we're going to neglect, and I like the way the author wrote this. It says, so great salvation. What if he just said, if we neglect salvation? What's the difference in what he said and what I just said? If we neglect so great salvation, why is this salvation great? It's the one and only. The one and only which will take us where? To heaven throughout eternity. It's the only thing that'll take you to heaven. Now, when we read this verse, we think about people who are lost. If that person does not get saved, he's going to go to eternity lost. What if you neglect so great a salvation? How do others find Christ as their Savior? Huh? By our witness. By our witness. What was our commission when the Lord went away? Go ye out into all the world to preach the gospel to them, to explain to them. Now, if your neighbor, if your neighbor hears you out the house using language that probably is not real Christian-like, what kind of a witness have you left? Been not a very good witness. If your neighbor sees you outside and you're waving to him, smiling at him, what kind of a witness is that? None of y'all ever smiled at anybody? If you never smiled at anybody, what would they say? He's not a happy person, and I don't want what he's got. Okay? So Christians, let's smile. Okay? I know it's hard to smile at me, but smile. A friendly. How many in here, when someone's going to a door, you rush up and open the door, besides John? How does that make you feel? Kip, how's that make you feel?
To do that for somebody?
Yes. It makes you feel good. And usually what do they do in response? They smile or they thank you or, you know. So what have you done to that person simply by opening the door? You've made a difference in them, haven't you? You've made a difference in their day. And they will look at you and they will smile. But not a hearer only, but a doer. So you say, is opening a door for someone a doer of the word? What's it say, Pastor Al, about having friends?
You want friends, show yourself friendly.
Okay. So a lot of times we go around, we're sad, and we think nobody cares about us, and we got a frown on our face, and we're walking with our head down between our knees, and what are people thinking? Man, that guy's got a rough life, or a rough wife, I guess, maybe some of them might say that. Shame on me. Or a rough. A rough hub. How about that? So, when we think about it, I want you to really think about this. You say, Aaron, you're not giving us a whole lot here. I want you to think about that so great a salvation that you have. If you've got something that you really enjoy, something that you're really into, what do you want to do? Share it with somebody else. You want to give it to somebody else. If you're sitting around grumbling and complaining all the time, and you know, nobody wants that. But I thought, you know, in this scripture, how shall we escape? Now, I want you to think about this. How will my neighbor escape if I continue acting like I do? How will my neighbor know anything about this great salvation if I don't live my life every day before them? If I don't, you know, I think one of the reasons that our church attendances throughout the country are down is because people don't want to ask somebody. Now, why would you not want to ask somebody to come and learn of this great salvation? Huh? Afraid of possibly being turned down? And what else would you be? You'd be afraid that they would show up and you're not there. So I couldn't invite my neighbor to come out on Wednesday or Sunday night or some other time because I have no plans on being here. And I think we really need to evaluate our great salvation. We need to evaluate, what am I doing to help others? I'll read another verse to you in Hebrews. And this is what it says, Hebrews 10 and 25. Did I give you the right verse? This says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as we see the day approaching. Forsaking. What's another word for forsaking? Neglecting. Neglecting. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. What's it mean to exhort someone? Encourage. Lift them up. Now, my message this morning is not getting on you for not coming to church. My message this morning is to exhort you to remember that great salvation that you have in your heart. How great is that salvation? It's so great it's going to take us to heaven. And then it says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day's approaching us? What's left in the plan of God right now? The rapture. His second coming. He's coming. He's coming soon. I have a list of items here. It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. You say, Aaron, I'm going to come when I want to come. That's fine. Or I'm going to come when I can come. That's fine too. But I want you to think about the others who may not be coming because you're not coming. And I'm going to read these in closing. And it's just, it's found but it's given why is God's house neglected? If you neglect your house at home, what happens to it? Huh? It'll eventually fall in. If you don't live in a house. I had an old barn that didn't have anything in it for several years. And you know what it started to do? It just started to fall in. What about your home? If you never did any what to it? Huh? If you never did any maintenance and you call Brian to come out and do a house inspection, Brian, what are you going to tell him?
Well, there's many things you could tell him, but it's in a state of disrepair.
Probably. It's been neglected. And what I'm saying to you today is I don't want your spiritual heart to be neglected.
Right.
Simply because you're too busy with something else. Is there anything else you can be too busy that's more important than your spiritual heart? There's nothing. Nothing. No job, no school, no nothing that's more important than your spiritual life. And this is, I think there's seven of them. God's house is neglected because the spiritual condition, unregenerated human nature. Human nature. What does Paul say about human nature? He has to wrestle with it every day, doesn't he? What's human nature want us to do? Eddie, what's human nature want us to watch on TV? Andy Griffin, or something else. Is it more important than your spiritual life? That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking you what you watch. That's up to you. But unregenerated human nature, what is the nature of man? To do what? Huh? Do what makes you feel good? Man's nature, even in the garden, the first thing was to do what? Sin. He sinned against God. So that's one of the reasons. It lists four things under that says the man who doesn't know God, the unregenerate human nature, he is spiritually dead. He is spiritually blind. He is spiritually enslaved. He is an enemy of God. Those are just a few of how it describes the human heart. God's house is neglected because very often there is no vital, soul-saving, heart-satisfying ministry and testimony in our churches. It's hard for us to brag about all the people that's being saved. You know why it is? We're not seeing them. We're not seeing them. And again, it goes back to, why do people have a desire to come to church? Because they're watching you. And they're watching your desire. God's house is neglected because very often the lives of Christians have not commended the church and the gospel. Commend. Commit. What does God want from us? Commitment. Commitment. Does He just want it once a week? He wants it every day. We don't have service every day, but He wants us to live it every day. Listen to this one. God's house is neglected because many Christians are far less zealous in serving the Lord than those who follow the false ideologies and serve the devil. We're looking at the world. What's the world painting? What kind of picture are they painting? A pretty picture. God's house is neglected because of sinful lack of concern to draw outsiders in. When's the last time you invited someone to church? God's house is neglected because we are living in the last days. What does the scripture say will take place in the last days? Falling away. Churches throughout the United States are falling away. We've talked about it several times. It's not just here. It's not just down the road or up the road. It's everywhere. They're falling away. But we're in that last day. God's house is neglected because the Holy Spirit is hindered. How does the Holy Spirit come to be among us? When we come through that door, what do we bring? We bring Him with us. What is the Holy Spirit supposed to do for us? He comforts us. He leads us. As the heart in your body is the strongest muscle that's in your body, the Holy Spirit in your heart, your spiritual heart, is the strongest force that you have as a Christian. Because He will lead you, He will guide you, He'll show you the right way to go, He'll tell you who to talk to, when to talk to Him, but what do we need not to do? What's that word? Neglect. We need not to neglect the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will not lead you down what? The wrong path. He'll not lead you astray. He will lead you to that straight and narrow. So it's important for us not to neglect that great salvation. It's important for us that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. You say, Aaron, there's a lot of times I just don't feel like coming. I can vote that too. But when it comes to that, you know what you got to do? Grab yourself by the seat of the pants and help yourself out the door. I've never come to church that I was disappointed. I've never come to church that the Holy Spirit wasn't here. I've never come to church that I didn't get a little something that I've never gotten before. Wednesday night, I was only in here about 10 minutes, but I took something home with me. I took that, do not neglect this great salvation. As a Christian, let's not neglect. As a Christian, let's get closer. The world is watching you, and the only way the world is going to get saved if they see you live like you should be living. And I want you to realize that the Lord loves you. We talk about Christianity as being a relationship. What did we say happened when we neglected that relationship between our families? You grow away. And in our relationship with God, it's the same way. If you neglect your spiritual life, you'll find yourself focused on the things of the world and the things that won't last. They'll be the Trent heart, or they'll be the Luke heart, and there won't be the Jordan heart that we've seen this morning. So if you're here this morning and you've neglected this great salvation and you want to get closer to the Lord, as we stand and as we sing, I invite you to come right now.
Page 111, 111.
Oh, so are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and light for
of you this morning, and we hope that you won't neglect this great salvation that we have. Anyone have anything before dismissed? Pastor Al, you come up. Jimmy and Rob, come up here a minute. I want to ask you all to do a favor for us. These three gentlemen and myself, we try to do what we need to do as far as visiting and all that, but sometimes we fall short. But I want you to pray for us, and I want you to do us a favor. If you know of somebody that you think you'd like for one of us to visit, or two of us, or all four of us, or whatever, I'd like for you just to let us know. A lot of times we don't know. We can't go if we don't know. And the second thing I'd like to ask you to do is, if you want us to go visit someone, tell us what their actual name is. I've been to the hospital looking for people, and I know them by one name all my life. And I get to the hospital, and I find out that's not even their name, that their real name. So if you would do that for us, we would appreciate it. We want to go, but sometimes we don't know where to go, and we don't know who we're going to see if their name's different. So any of you guys disagree with me? We don't want to neglect our duties as pastors. But if you feel we need to go see someone, give us their name. You can text it to us. Give us where they're at. We don't care where it's at. We'll do our best to get to them, to see them. So if that's okay, I appreciate it. Maybe Jessica can get us our emails and our website. No, we don't have websites. Our text and our phone numbers, so that if you want someone to come and pray with somebody, we're willing to go. Just lead us in the right direction. Anybody else have anything?